Monday of the sixth week of Ordinary Time. The first reading is from Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 and following. The man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, "I have produced a man with the help of the Lord." Next she bore his brother Abel. Abel became a keeper of flocks, and Cain a tiller of the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought an offering to the Lord from the fruit of the soil, while Abel, for his part, brought one of the best firstlings of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not. Cain greatly resented this and was crestfallen. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you resentful and crestfallen? If you do well, you can hold up your head, but if not, sin is a demon lurking at the door. His urge is toward you, yet you can be his master." Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out in the field." When they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" He answered, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord then said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the soil. Therefore, you shall be banned from the soil that opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. If you till the soil, it shall no longer give you produce. You shall become restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is too great to bear. Since you have now banished me from the soil, and I must avoid your presence and become a restless wanderer on the earth, anyone may kill me at sight." "Not so," the Lord said to him. "If anyone kills Cain, Cain shall be avenged sevenfold." So the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest anyone should kill him at sight. Adam again had relations with his wife, and she gave birth to a son whom she called Seth. "God has granted me more offspring in place of Abel," she said, "because Cain slew him." This is the word of the Lord. My dear family, here we have the next generation from Adam and Eve, and we see the first homicide in the history of salvation. These two were the first to be born in original sin, Cain and Abel. And we see that each responds in a different way. Why is it that God is pleased with the sacrifice of Abel and not with the sacrifice of Cain? We're not told. But we do hear in the Bible, in the New Testament, that if you have something against your brother, first go and reconcile with your brother and then offer your sacrifice. I think this is connected. Cain offered a sacrifice but it was not from a pure heart. And this is the problem. It's not that God is playing favoritisms. We're being taught that a sacrifice is not truly a sacrifice if the heart is not pure in its offering. And God loves Cain so much that he warns him and encourages him to fight against the devil, against temptation. When God does that, it's because God is giving him also the strength to be able to do it. The Lord tells him, "Why are you resentful and crestfallen? If you do well, you can hold up your head. But if not, sin is a demon lurking at the door." It's not just a weakness in you. You're facing a demon, and you need to know the seriousness of the battle. Well, did Cain listen? We can see the arrogant, the pride in Cain. He immediately went and told his brother, "Let's go out into the field." And there he killed his brother. Now, is he remorseful? Is he repentant? No. The Lord God goes to him just like he had gone to Adam, seeking for the sinner to face his reality, but to no avail. What does Cain respond? "I do not know." He doesn't know where his brother is, he says. "Am I my brother's keeper?" See again the arrogance, the pride, confronting God in this fashion. Well, the true answer is yes, you are your brother keeper. You should care for him and love him. But here we see the complete detachment that pervades humanity because of sin, detachment from responsibility for the other. And that doesn't mean only when we kill somebody, but when we are like the rich man who did not care about Lazarus. Sometimes we don't care about the immigrants. Sometimes we don't care about the poor. Sometimes we don't care about this person who is in my sphere of friends, but it's not attractive to me. So we are not the brother's keeper. The gospel is Mark chapter 8, verses 11 to 13. The Pharisees came forward and began to argue with Jesus, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. He sighed from the depth of his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Amen, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." Then he left them, got into the boat again, and went off to the other shore. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dear family, Jesus had just performed the great miracle of the multiplication of the bread, a great sign. But instead of recognizing it, the Pharisees were murmuring because his disciples had not washed their hands. So in the mentality of the Pharisees, that great meal was unclean. This is the problem with the Pharisees. They are so centered in their way of perceiving religion that they're unable to see the signs of God. And yet they have the audacity, the bad audacity, of confronting Jesus and asking him for a sign. He has already done the signs. He has raised the dead. He has healed the paralytic. He has given sight to the blind. And they're asking for a sign? You see, they are like saying, force me to believe. They want to control God. They want a sign, a miracle done to their size and measurement. This is controlling God. In fact, they're acting like Satan, because it is Satan who tempted Jesus so that he would get out of his true messianic vocation and dazzle people with great miracles. And so Jesus is pierced with sorrow for these people. And we see that it says that he sighted from the depth of his spirit. It's like, what else can I do to save them, to love them? And they're so blind. And yet, my people, we're seeing the same thing today. People so obsessed, limiting reality to the scientific experimentation, that if they cannot submit God to that, they just won't believe. And this is obstinacy. The Lord will not do that, will not coerce people to believe. And so he left them and went to the other shore. This is pretty much the end of the ministry of Jesus in Galilee. And notice the contrast, because the events that preceded this were of people desiring him to touch them or to allow them to touch him. And now again, we close with this sad note of the hardness of heart, the unwillingness to recognize signs and wanting to control him. May the Lord give us the grace to learn this lesson. God bless you.